Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want us to somewhat survey a passage of Scripture. And when I say survey, I want us to look at it. We're going to walk through it a little bit together. That's, I think, the Lord's intention this morning. But as we walk through it, understand that His Word is supposed to walk through us. Okay? His Word's supposed to walk through us. Okay? Kind of like, because His Word is living and active, right? Scripture says that. It's living and active. So it should be walking through us, taking its course of living and being active in us, kind of sorting things out, recognizing things in us, pointing things out to us. See, He doesn't just walk alone. We're supposed to kind of walk with Him and His Word as it walks through us, which reveals things that He wants to do, what He's like, and also what we're like, and things that we want to do, and where the clash and conflict comes. And at that point is where you and I have to make some decisions in our personal life. And it doesn't matter where we're from or how young we are or old we are or what our title is or isn't. We're at a place where the Maker sees some things in us and wants to work His good pleasure. All right? Turn to the person next to you and say, God wants to work His good pleasure in you. Yeah. Tell somebody. If somebody did not tell you, you know, not near you, get up, yank on their shirt and say, tell me. Okay? So, tell me. Thank you both. Because I didn't hear anybody tell me. Not that I feel left out. No, I'm not looking at you like you should have done it, son. I'm just saying, you know. By the way, very nice color shirt this morning. Yeah, God wants to work His good pleasure in us. I want you to open your Bible, turn to Matthew. The later part of chapter 7. Now, if you do not have a Bible with you, in the pew rack in front of you, or if you're in the front pew, there's a rack underneath. There's a Bible there that you can use, okay, that you can pull out. And in fact, if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, you don't own one that's yours, I want you to know you can take that one with you. It is now yours. It is a gift to you, not from us as a church, but from the Lord. His word is a gift to all of us. And so you take that with you. You can open up the cover and write your name in it. It belongs to you. We have more, and we continue to replenish those so others can take one when they need it. So Matthew chapter 7. You know, this time of year, it's always tough to control the temperature, isn't it? I'm sorry. It's really warm up here. I was talking to Felicia earlier. She's the one that led this morning. She said, down there I'm cold and up here I'm warm. So I said, we got to probably get a coat rack right about here. But it is. It's just kind of warm up here this morning. Matthew chapter 7 in the later portion, verse 24. And actually, we've been talking a little bit about this on a Wednesday night, a little bit of a series we've been going through. But verse 24, and we have to get the context of this. We know that Jesus just finished teaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. He goes through this wonderful dissertation and teaching of principles and revealing what the kingdom of heaven is like and how we're supposed to live and all of that is His followers. And so he finishes it up with this story. Everyone then who hears these words referring to what he just talked about in Matthew 5, what we find in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He says, those who hear these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came up and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And the person who hears these words of mine, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. okay, who hears them and does not do these words, in other words, doesn't apply them to their life, doesn't affect their thinking and decision making, this person that it doesn't allow it to have impact upon their faith and who they are, is like a foolish person who built a house on sand. So when that same storm came, rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell, and it was a great fall. He tells a story to say, I just gave you gold, so to speak. I gave you premium, okay? This was pure. And listen, if you will take what I told you and you will act and do these things in faith, you're like a wise person. If we don't do that, we fall into the only other category. So Jesus wraps up this wonderful teaching, Sermon on the Mount, with that. And I want you to know what we're going to talk about this morning is how faith and authority walk hand in hand. Faith and authority are, I'll just tell you, they are traveling partners. They're mates. Faith and authority. Say, faith and authority. Say it again. Faith and authority. Faith and authority travel together. They walk in harmony together. And I want us to look at this passage of not what Jesus just said now, but what we're going to go to in Matthew chapter 8. You will see a flow in the context. You know, when this was written, it wasn't written by, here's a chapter and a verse. It was just recorded along the lines of history to help us find places. You know, we labeled it, chapters and verse. And Jesus, it was said about him, in verse 28 of chapter 7, it says, and when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For his teaching was one that had, louder, authority, and not as our scribes. So they heard, these people who were there, many of them heard teaching all the time. Teaching about God's laws and God's commandments. And they taught and they brought forth these things. And then Jesus spoke and they were astonished. They were taken back. They said, there's something different here. I'll paraphrase and put it in some of our vernacular. I was blown away. This was beyond anything I could imagine. This is something completely different. It's like my eyes have been opened up, or I have tasted of something new that I have not tasted before. I didn't even know this existed. This is amazing. It says he taught with, and the way they described it, as if he taught with authority. Take a little journey further here, chapter 8. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, there in the first few verses, Jesus came down from the mountainside, and a leper came and knelt before him, and the leper said, make me clean. Jesus reached out, touched the man who had leprosy, and said, I will make you clean, or I will do this for you. And when he touched him, immediately the man was cured from leprosy. And Jesus gives him some instruction. He says, now don't go and tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests now and offer the sacrifice that Moses has commanded. Now I want us to catch this here, because this man came and Jesus healed him, and we think, hot dog, man, it's done. Whew, it's over. The leprosy's gone. That's great. And yet Jesus gives him instruction. He says, now, I know you've received this healing, but I want you now to go show yourself to the priest as a leper who became cleansed was required to do, and to offer an offering, a sacrifice, as Moses and the law commanded. It's interesting. Many of us in our day and age You know, we talk so much about faith and we talk about grace, and it's all true and it's good. But it's interesting that this man tasted of Jesus' grace, of his power, of his presence. This man felt his touch. This man was transformed and made healthy. I mean, a miracle was done for him. And when those things happen for us, I wonder if when we're done, we just walk away and say hallelujah and tell a few people and we're happy. But this man, after he received Jesus, gave him instructions to go and obey and to submit to what was required. I wonder about times in my life, maybe your life, where we receive some wonderful thing from God and we were happy and we say, hallelujah, hot dog, you know, the whole thing, and we're woohoo. And our response should include not only his praise, but should include what is required of me. Not to purchase this healing because it was already given to me. Not that you just answered this prayer that I've, you know, made a request unto you and you answered it, and I can't work to, you know, make these things happen. It's not based upon my righteousness. It's upon the righteousness of Christ. We understand that. But after the fact, do we continue to walk in obedience and submission to the commands and the direction and the will of God for all of us and his will for us personally? I want you to know faith and authority travel together. Matthew records after this, he says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion who was from what people group? A centurion. Roman. This man is not Jewish. He's Roman. He's a Roman centurion. He's a military man. He comes to Jesus with a problem. And he appeals to him and says, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to my place, come into my house. But if you will just say the word, if you will just say the word, my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers who are under me or under my authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. I have not witnessed such faith like this in Israel or among God's people. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we don't confuse this. I just want to touch on this quickly. It's not part of this morning, but I don't want to just skip over and say, I wonder what that verse means. What it's referring to is many will come who are not Jewish by descent. They'll come from the east and the west and all over and put faith in Christ. And on the day where their life is over on earth, they shall be in the presence of God along with the fathers of the faith. And he says those who were born of that kingdom, in other words, by natural descent of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so forth, many of them who don't believe in Christ will not make it. And that's what Jesus is referring to. And his comment is, I haven't found faith like this even among God's people. The point is, outside of, in this context, in this passage at this time, There are those who believe and come with faith and understand authority better than God's elect. And just because we are born into it doesn't mean we understand it. Jesus was saying there will be salvation for the Gentiles outside of Jews only. Yeah, all of us in here who are non-Jewish should say thank God and not be ashamed of the power of the gospel that is for salvation first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. That's what Paul writes. Anyhow, back to this. And the centurion, Jesus said to him, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment back at the Roman centurion's home. This is what I want us to try to collect from this. And there's so much in this, but I want us to collect along this theme because I think the Lord is trying to really speak to me and speak to us as individuals, but certainly as a church body. And that we try to grow in our faith. We try to exercise faith. We try to work through our disbelief and believe God for something great. We try to believe Him for an answer in our personal life that we carry that's problematic or a hope or a dream. And we try to exercise this faith. And someone comes and they're sick and we pray. And we try to pray the prayer of faith according to the Scripture. But we have to remember that authority travels with faith. They travel together. They're partners. This is a very sensitive issue for many people because when you start talking about authority and submitting to authority, either there, you know, there's always people, I mean, none of us, all, you know, it oppresses our flesh a little bit as a conflict because, you know, we want to be the, But many of us, we grew up without maybe an authority figure. We've been burned by authority, whether we were kids or we were adults. We've seen faulty authorities that haven't directly affected our life. We just get the headlines in the paper or you know, the ticker across the bottom while we're watching the news. We look at authorities around the world who we don't know personally and we see the mistakes or the oppression that they bring. And so we start to collect all of this to build our case of justification of why we're not going to submit to authority. We're just going to submit to the Lord. And we make it real spiritual to justify our corrupt attitude that we have collected through time, through interpreting circumstances and looking through the filter of hurt and injustice. And now we use it as license to live how we want and to always be skeptical of anyone in authority at any level. And here, authority travels with faith. And we wonder sometimes why we don't grow further in our faith or that these seeds we're trying to plant in faith are not growing, becoming fruitful. It's because this travel mate of authority, and we like to try to take authority, we like to try to exercise authority. You know, we're full gospel people. We're Pentecostal people. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to step in authority. Christ has died and we believe in Him and He's in us. And so we want to exercise His authority. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That all becomes vain unless we first submit to authority. We can look at what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5. He talks about husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. It talks to parents and children. Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't oppress and exasperate and agitate your children. I wonder if God talked to you like you talk to your kids. Yeah, but I have so many kids that I'm frustrated. And yeah, I get that. You know, many of you get greater medals than my wife and I because you had more. I get it. You know, but we had 4 and 4.5 years. No twins. It's possible. You newlyweds, get busy. We want more kids around here. Anyhow. You like laughing now, right? Because like, yeah, whatever, and make me a grandpa.
That's right.
Oh, now you got a cheering section. Yeah, okay. Okay, we're totally lost the sermon. It's gone, man. Listen. Faith and authority travel together. And we can just try to exercise faith all we want. But if we don't learn to walk in authority, it's like we sabotage our faith and our expression of faith. It's like planting a seed and we're digging it up the next day to see how it's going. We plant a crop and then we're out there and we're, you know, flooding it. We're digging it up. I mean, what's the sense in that? And we try to cover it with all these, you know, well, I'm justified to, you know, do this, and I want to, because I've been burned by authority. I got news for you. Yeah, there is faulty authority in the church and outside the church. And there is only one who is perfect. It is Jesus. Okay? We know it. We got it. But he calls me and calls you to something. To learn how to walk under authority when the authority is flawed. Because our submission is not based upon the authority in our life and their performance. That's like saying, husbands, love your wives. It's like Paul writes, love your wives except for if she hurts you. Then you can withhold your love. Wives, submit to your husband, but as soon as he makes a mistake, you don't have to submit anymore. Some of you have gone through the pain of broken relationships and divorce. And through the filter of that experience, you think, well, next time, I'm doing it different. And now you're taking all this stuff with you to build your case of how you're going to make it next time. God designed it and he knows how it works. And you can fight and you can squirm and you can hate this. And this is such a tough topic of being submitted to authority in our life. And really it's not just about teaching on, you know, being submitted to authority. It's about how we help our faith. How our faith becomes fruitful. That's what this is about. This is not hammering me and hammering you to submit. This is about, hey, we can't ignore this because this is what travels with faith. And if we just want welcoming faith only, it's not working. It's not going to work. You see, faith is not just believing that God exists and you talk to him. It's about believing God to the point that it transforms my life, the way I make decisions, the way I do things, the way I talk, the way I conduct my life, okay, to the point that it expresses a faith in Christ. That's faith. It's not just faith that he can do something in his ability. It's the kind of faith that says, I believe and therefore I'm going to do what your word says. I'm going to say what your word says. I'm going to wrestle through this until I'm obedient to your word. You want to wield great spiritual power, and so you focus on faith. And you forget about being submitted to authority. This Roman centurion, this is really just an amazing passage. I am so grateful to God. You know, he did so many things that they can't all be recorded. I'm so grateful that this one was recorded. This Roman centurion Jesus says, I have not found faith like this. This Roman centurion understood something. He understood authority. He said, I too, isn't that interesting? I too, he's talking to Jesus, I too walk under authority. There was this acknowledgement that Jesus, I know that you can do this, and you're the answer to this, but you walk under authority. Whose authority does he walk under? Father. He walks under the Father's authority. Jesus knew how to submit. He submitted to the Father's will all the way, without stopping short, all the way to the cross. Right? He followed and submitted to the Father's good pleasure because the Father loves us, sends his only begotten Son from heaven to earth, born as an infant, born of man, to go through things that we go through, to experience life, all the way to going to a cross, though he's innocent. Jesus was submitted to the Father, and all authority was given unto him. Jesus knew how to submit to authority and therefore operated in authority. You and I just think, hey, it's faith and it's faith. It is faith. Enough faith that we will walk in submission to authorities in our life even when they're flawed. Because it's not my responsibility what they do and what they say and how they make decisions. My responsibility in good conscience and good faith, walking with this partner of authority, is making sure that my heart and my life, my attitude, is what's right. You want to see God flow more freely through your life in a greater effect of fruitfulness in spreading the gospel and caring for people and ministering to people and all of that? Walk under authority. And I want you to know with God, you can't pull the, well, I'm just submitted to you. You can't pull that. I'm sorry, you can't pull that one because it just goes against God. You look at Romans chapter 13. Verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Let what persons? Oh, every person. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're in every. It includes you. Listen, this is why this is so painful to talk about, because there's so much emotion for many people in this room. There's so much emotion attached to this. Hurt feelings, offenses, all of these things, learning to survive and make it on your own, and you can't trust anybody else, and blah, 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 blah. And listen, I understand how that happens. I don't understand all the emotion that goes with it for you individually, only for my own life. But I know that there's a lot of emotion and disruption in our soul about this. You're not called to scrutinize your authorities. You're called to obey God. The Roman centurion said, if you give the word, he understood authority. He said, I'm under authority too, and I have people under me. And listen, I want you to know this. When the commander gives the word, it better be carried out. Those of you who, you know, we live in a unique area. We have a, when I talk with different people, they say, oh, what's kind of the makeup of your church? I always include that we have this military segment in our church, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, military people, because of we're being so close to Fort McCoy. And then many who are retired military, but still are connected through contract work and things like that. It's just a wonderful addition to this church body, even though we know military families come and go because they might only be here for a season and leave. But you know what? I'm so grateful when they're here and they commit themselves and they become a part of the body. We know that your life is a bit transient, you know, and yet when you're here, Please, I don't want you to ever think or fall for the chapel. We'll only be for a little while, so we're probably not going to be really cared for. We're not going to really get plugged in. Listen, while you are here, you are family, and get plugged in, okay? We want you to grow, because I'll just tell you, from my perspective, I look at you a little bit like a missionary. One day you're going to leave, but what God did for you in this place and through this place and in your life, you get to now carry somewhere else in the world. And that's just how I look at it. So that was another side note. Roman centurion understood authority, and he just said, Jesus, you don't have to go to my house. You just got to give the word. That's a great expression of faith, but it was a great expression of understanding authority. Because you are under authority too, and you walk under authority, and you have a right spirit about you, I know that when you give the word and the level of authority that you carry, it's going to be done. That's what he's saying to Jesus. Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from who? And those that exist have been instituted by? Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. So here we are, people who believe in Jesus. We're trying to exercise faith and faithfulness and be fruitful in our life. We're trying to really show Jesus we have faith. Oh, we got faith. Oh, we got faith. And yet, we don't submit to authorities in our life. And now we're this person trying to express faith, and in reality, we are going to walk under God's judgment. Whoa, you feel like you just got blindsided. What? I've been trying to exercise faith. The way we exercise faith is trusting in God, who whatever he created, and even though we may have questions when we look at the humanity level, what I'm supposed to manage by the help of the Holy Spirit is my attitude and the way I submit to authority. I've had to submit to authorities all of my life. Oh, you too? Yeah. Ephesians 5, we talked about husbands and wives. We talked about children and parents. Paul goes on to write about masters and slaves. Slaves! You masters, you be good masters. I'm paraphrasing. You slaves, you do what you're supposed to do. He didn't say, oh, you poor slaves. I mean, not that God's feeling good about it, but he speaks to Paul. He says, listen, if you're a slave, and that's where you're at this time in your life, you be a good slave. And you submit to your master, because you do it as unto the Lord. And listen, if your master's oppressive, he's under authority. He's under God's authority. And though that master may not acknowledge God, there will be a day where he, she does. And frankly, that's not any of our business. That's God's business with that master. So keep your nose out and keep it at home and mind what's going on in here. And understand that nothing in our past gives us license to go against what God instructs us to be like. You want to grow in faith? You want to wield God's authority, so to speak? Then you got to look at yourself, and how well do you walk under authority? I get it. I get it. What? Do you know this guy I married? Not as well as you, but you brought him home. Maybe if you walk under his authority and you show kindness and the character of God, He might just see your good faith and have a transformed heart. That's what the scripture tells wives to conduct themselves like. And if he does not have a transformation of heart, you can still put your head on the pillow at night with a clear conscience because you did what the Father instructed you to do. You're still going to go to bed with heartache. I know. And you still might go to bed with some frustration and some tears, but you can go to bed without guilt because you did what God required. You did not base your reaction and actions and responsibility based upon the other person's performance. You based it upon faith and the understanding of what it is to walk under God's instruction. And when we do that, authority and fruitfulness and the faith we are so diligently trying to plant will not be sabotaged. It will grow and it will be fruitful and it will move us along in life where we can now come to a place where we can serve another person's purpose because they are an authority over us and we can be joyful about it. It doesn't mean every moment you like the job or you like what you have to do, but you can walk with a joy and say, you know, I'm doing what's right in God's sight. It's about overcoming our flesh. It's about me overcoming my flesh, and Christ in us has caused us to be overcomers. Children, and I'm looking right here, and I know there's more children in this place and down the hall, plenty. Obey your parents. They will mistreat you. They will make mistakes. They will talk to you sometimes in public that is embarrassing to you. I get it. I was one. Take good notes. Still obey them. Take good notes. And don't become those things that you hate when you have children. And your day will come if God should tarry. Listen. Just because you don't like what they say does not release you from the faith obligation and the principle of walking under their authority so that you can exercise the authority that God gives you and in the spirit realm to give you victory and powerful ministry. Okay? Because the invisible realm that we know is real, the spiritual realm, I'm going to take you just to just touch our toe in this a little bit. The spiritual realm recognizes authority. The spiritual realm recognizes it. We can be fooled because we're always looking with our eyes. Oh, they're big. Oh, this is so long. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, they're intimidating. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the kind of stuff we look at in the spirit, they recognize authority. The spiritual realm recognizes authority. It is visible. You and I can be fooled because we look in this physical realm so much. But in the spirit realm sees so clearly. It's not about what you're wearing and how big you are and all of this kind of stuff. The spirit realm sees very clearly and recognizes authority in a person's life, recognizes if they're submitted to authority. It's like you walk around, and we can't see it, but it's like we walk around with this kind of this rank on our uniform as a Christian, and they just kind of check out the bars. They got no authority. Doesn't matter how loud you shout. Doesn't matter how much you jump. Doesn't matter if you weep a little bit when you sing a moving chorus unto the Lord and you sense his presence. And I'm not making light of those things. I'm just telling you that that does not mean that you have learned to be submitted to authority, and because you walk under this authority that now you can exercise some great authority. Jesus walked in great authority because he submitted to the Father's will to come to earth to redeem us. And here we want to move in faith, and we got hang-ups about authority. And we sabotage our own faith, and we haven't seen it. We just continue to blame others. Others in our past, others in our present, as if they're holding me back and they don't understand. And I'm so sick of them, and I can't believe they're leading this country. And I blah, 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 blah. Doesn't mean we have to agree and like everything that the authorities in our life say or do. But they will all answer. They will all answer. God set it up that way. He's God. And every authority delegated has been instituted by him. And they will answer to him whether they recognize him in this life or not. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Faith and authority are traveling mates. And if you have not been fruitful in your faith, I want you to consider looking at how well and what is my attitude in walking under authority in my life in all the different areas of my life. We talk about authority, we usually start to jump on the bandwagon right away about the authority we have. And I want you to understand, it's not just about the authority you have and the authority you're given. It's about the authority that you walk under.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.